we're down in Parnell this morning, and I'm going to be talking to Pat Hannah, and he's the general manager with RASP. And as you said, RASP is celebrating 25 years. So Pat's going to talk to us a little bit to say what's happening here today. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. My name is Pat Hannah. I'm general manager of RASP. Today is a very special occasion for us. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary as a charity working in the area of addiction in Dublin 17.
So you've gone 25 years, which is a long time. What changes have you seen throughout the years?
Oh, it's kind of swung from, well, first of all, we're in the charity sector. I could talk about a lot less money, a lot more to do. And from a drug perspective, drugs have changed dramatically, mainly in the sense that we're not just dealing with heroin and, say, cocaine, which were traditional problems. We're now dealing with a whole, different types of head shop stuff and also tablets. There seems to be a whole mixture of what they call polydrug use that's now prevalent in society compared to what we were dealing with, say, back in the day. But I'd also say that there have been changes in the public attitude to drugs in the sense that it's been seen more and more as a medical issue rather than a justice issue, which I think has been a tremendous change because there's less stigmatization and people are more inclined to come and talk about their addictions and deal with their addictions. It's kind of come out from maybe under the carpet, more or less, and becoming more normal. It's been normalised. It's a bad thing, but it's also a good thing.
Okay, and what's going to be happening here today? And it's a kind of full-day event, and you have a lot of people attending, including the Lord Mayor and other people. So what's on the agenda for today?
Well, we've got the new Minister of Communication, Mr. Richard Bouton, is kind enough to give us his time. Originally, when he was invited, he was Minister of Education, but he still kept his diary, I'm pleased to say, and he's attending this morning. He's our main guest of honour. We also have the Lord Mayor, Neil Ring, who is coming today. We also have, who's already present, Aon Reardon, Senator Aon Reardon. And then a whole mix of services who have been a support to us over the years, plus participants. We're also launching a special, what we call a Smart Fit program. It's a very unusual program. It's for people, at the moment, it's people who are in recovery from addiction. And that we'll be launching that today. What's good about this program is that it only lasts 20 weeks. But there's two QQI courses with it. One is health-related fitness, and the other is addiction studies. So the hope is when people do the program, that they can either get the first rung of the ladder and getting into, say, the leisure industry or the personal training industry. So we're really, it's kind of like some like preparation for work, but at the same time, you may not go that direction. And even if you don't, it has a strong, well, fitness is a strong motivation factor for staying clean, staying off drugs.
Great. Now, Pat, I know you're really, really busy today and you have to run now. But we're going to be here throughout the day. We're going to have another colleague down at about 12 o'clock, Tony, to cover for Northside today. But in the meantime, we're going to be talking to a few different people. But thanks a million for talking to us here this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
So now I'm joined by Dean, and Dean's going to tell us a little bit about his own story and how he got involved with RASP.
Well, basically, I started taking drugs when I was 18, 17. I started going out to clubs without a passport, and I was introduced to cocaine and AIDS. And then somewhere around down the line, I went on to weed, and I took that pretty heavily. And then I went on to MDMA and tried magic mushrooms and all sorts of stuff. But the weed was my main one. And I was using it every day, probably about 9 to 14 times a day. And it affected not only me, but affected my family, my friends. I lost all my old friends from school. They didn't want to be around me when I was out of my face. I've kind of been withdrawn. I was kind of isolated. It's almost like I had to relearn everything again. I didn't know how to do anything. I didn't know how to talk to people. I didn't know how to dress. I didn't know how to take care of myself. And my family, I'd kind of been distant. I started arguing with my stepdad because of...
Yeah. And how, Dean, you're very young. Like, you're only 23. So you started quite young on drugs. Was it, as I spoke to somebody yesterday about this, was it the company you were with, do you think?
Well, there was one or two friends that was taking drugs. But mainly it was when I was around my sober friends, they would normally have a drink and I would take a tablet, an ecstasy pill or whatever, just to get in my face. Because I was never comfortable being myself, like, being around them. I don't know if it's everyone, but I never felt comfortable with myself, and I was always trying to suppress it or something, or to escape from it, having a good time.
And the more interviews I do about this, to me it seems there's always kind of an underlying problem, and it's masked by either drugs or alcohol. But at the end of the day, you have to get to the root of the problem to make yourself happy. So you, for years, took every type of drug, you said. So how did it come to the point where you said, this is it, I can't do this anymore? Did you deal with, I suppose, your demons? What was really kind of bothering you?
Well, thankfully, I got into detox last year around Christmas. I really got to reflect and look at myself and ask myself why I was taking this, what's it do for me. I was learning how to talk about stuff, how to open up and communicate again. But what really got me to change was seeing my brother. A couple of months before Christmas last year, my brother held something for his friends, and he went on a holiday, and then I went missing over the weekend. And that brought him loads of trouble towards my family. I was seeing pipe bombs thrown at my youngest brother, who was in the sit room. Basically, I felt like I caused that because I was never there with my younger brother. Like, I was always out with these so-called friends getting high and whatever. And he started going around to his old friends, and he would stay out all night smoking, doing what I was doing, and he was just mixing with the wrong
crowd. You could see him going down the same path as you did.
Yeah.
But it wasn't your responsibility, really, to be looking out for your younger, but I know we all look out for our younger siblings and that, but, like, that wasn't your responsibility. It was a lot of responsibility on you to kind of make sure, in your own mind, that you didn't want him to go the way you did.
Yeah, I never wanted to see him to go in the same route. He dropped out of school like I did. We started hanging around wrong people. He wasn't talking to the family. He was on bills out like I did, left, right and centre, robbing Peter to pay Paul.
So you're here today in RASP. Yeah. You've been in RASP for nearly 3 years, is it?
Yeah, 3 years on the dot.
And how did you find, people are listening today and they're in that boat that you were in 3 years ago, and they think their life is just, I suppose, more or less over. They can't see a way out. What words of advice can you give to them?
Well, no matter what age you are or what you've been through, life isn't over. As long as you're on this earth, it still goes on to make the best of it. Basically, get out there, kind of build yourself up. I know it's hard, but get confidence, start speaking to people, take pride in yourself, be happy. Don't focus on the negative, because the negative is always going to come. Focus on the positive.
And do you feel RASP helped you get through this? Do you think you can do it alone, or do you need the help of, like, an organisation like RASP?
Yeah, well, I've been to the Mornington Centre in Artane as well, but RASP really helped me out a lot. Like, if I was doing this by myself, I'd be in sex things. When I was 19, I'd be underneath the covers, smoking in the room, windows locked, going out on the weekends, taking God knows what. Like, I wouldn't have changed if it wasn't for this place.
So now you're in a better place today. You're here today attending RASP, 25 years it's gone today, and you're starting a course soon, you said?
Yeah. I got my manual handling, my safe pass. I'm going for my forklift license, and then hopefully be a warehouse operative just to help the family. It's not what I want to do, but I will be going back to education. I got support in Clash to Dillon.
Dylan, you're very young. The world's your oyster now, and you're in a much better place, and you're happier in yourself.
Yeah. Can I just say one more thing?
Okay.
If there's anybody, no matter what age, if you live in the north side area or in the north of Dublin and you have problems with addiction, either be drink, gambling, drugs, come down to RASP, they'll help you out. And especially for the young ones and girls, I know it can be, girls can kind of handle their addiction better than men, but there's still a lot, like I know myself, who I asked, would you come down here and give it a try? It's better than being on the dole. And no.
There seems to be a lot of males down here today, and I've seen one of your organisers saying that they find it hard to get women involved. But as you said, if anyone's listening today and they feel they need the help that you have gotten from RASP, just come down, make a phone call, and they're online.
Yeah, to RASP.ie, I think, or RASP.com.
Yeah. Okay, Dylan, thanks a million for talking to us today on Lifeline, and enjoy the day.